creating cultural awareness and understanding. This is Culture Click. Culture Click is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University.
On this episode of Culture Click, we bring you part three of What's Race Got to Do With It? Media Management of Minority Images. Previously, Brian K. Smith and Winona State University President Dr. Scott Olson tackled social science theory, communication, historical record, and present-day examples to engage others to think critically about the power of media in shaping and promoting negative images of members of minority groups. Today, we conclude the discussion with a group of students from Winona State University campus about the September edition of the university publication, The Winonan. In that issue, there was an article about assaults that had taken place during the university's welcome week. Alongside the piece was a photo of a suspect who was silhouetted and wearing a hoodie. The image of this person's face was darkened out. Students on the panel expressed their feelings on how the image could be considered offensive and racist and would make people assume that the person of interest is automatically of African American descent. I'm Terry Tensett, inviting you to join us on Culture Click.
I want to thank the students for volunteering to be up at this panel and talking about these very difficult issues. And I was one of the first people to see the cover of the Winona, and I caught it out of the corner of my eye. I was coming out of the library. And the juxtaposition of two images really frightened me. Not only the hoodie and the words that said community safety in question, but then that purple W there in the corner. And I think given the maybe cognitive context that Mr. Bryant told us about, and then the historical context that President Olson delineated for us tonight. What I'd like to do with this panel discussion is maybe move things a little closer to home. And our campus, for all of its good things, sometimes isn't a campus that does a good job talking about issues of race. And I wanted to take at least 15, 20 minutes to allow the student panel to address the kind of issues about race, the campus, media. If they want to react to anything in the presentations, it would be a good time to do that. So let me just start off asking the students to reflect on their own experience, taking into account their race or their ethnicity.
My name is Leah Peterson. This is my third year here at Winona State. I'm originally from St. Croix, U.S. Virgin Islands. My major is community health with a minor in individualized studies.
I'm Christopher Veter. I'm a sophomore here at Winona State University, and I'm studying political science and public administration. And I'm also on Winona State Student Senate.
My name is Rashad Gayden. I'm getting a master's in educational leadership.
My name is Alec Orwin. I am a senior here, obviously. I'm a business administration and human resource management major. And this is my second year here at Winona State. So.
I'm Ben Strand. I'm in my third year here at Winona State, and I'm majoring in English writing and journalism.
And my name is Sue Hang. I came to the United States as a refugee of war from Thailand, and I'm an individualized studies organizational leadership.
So maybe breaking down my question a little bit, maybe just give me your personal reaction when you saw that cover. Or things you've seen on campus similar to that cover?
At first, when I saw the cover, I didn't think much of it. And then I write for the Winonan too, and I got the email from my editor about our budget for the week, the stories for the week following the issue with that cover photo. And it wasn't brought to my attention that this image had sparked some controversy until I read the budget that I was given, and there were, one of the stories was, is race an issue in Winona? And I was very blown away, because most of the time in the Winona you just get these stories about various events or people speaking, and then all of a sudden you got this one about race an issue in Winona, and it really caught my attention. And at first when I saw the image, I didn't think that about the stereotypes or the messages being evoked, the hidden elements of the image, until it was brought to my attention And then it really changed my perspective on how I looked at the image, and it really made me more aware about these kind of issues.
I didn't see the image until I went to Mr. Hines' office and he showed it to me and Leah as well as Marianne. We went to him to talk about the other incident that happened on campus where someone drove by and yelled out the N-word to a couple of my friends and a faculty member here. And, you know, we were going around campus to talk to the different administrators here at school to do something about it. And then Mr. Hines showed us this image in the paper as well. And I was blown away, too, because the first thing I thought of, I was like, oh, Trayvon Martin, you know. And then Mr. Hines told me, he's like, you know, it goes beyond that to, like, the stereotypical, like, you know, images of Black men as criminals, and you know, they wear hoodies and they're out to get people and everything like that. So that was just really interesting to me. So, and it shocked me that that happened at Winona too, because I was like, where did that come from? Yeah, because we came for one thing and then we saw another, and I was like, what is going on? Like, we need to have a conversation about this. So,
if it wasn't for Dr. Ripley, I'm intern for the Human Rights Commission in Winona here, then I would have never seen this this cover. And the first thing I've seen it, you know, it's just like perpetuates the stereotype of like African American. Like no doubt in my mind, I was like, oh yeah, that's a Black person, you know? And I think, and I believe that because throughout our like, it's just like our culture, you know, things are being reinforced little at a time in media and stuff like that. And so that's just my take on it.
For me, I had seen the photo, that was the day it was published, right?
Yeah,
the day it was published at a student senate meeting, actually, Chris brought it to our attention. And I had seen it earlier in the day, but, you know, I don't really read the school newspaper. Just, I mean, sometimes I'll stop and read it, but for the most part, like, I don't pick up one. I saw the picture, and my first thought was, you know, what happened? And when I read the article, it was to deal with the three females who were attacked right before school started. And I just thought it was interesting because if you look at the photo, one, there's no outline of a face. You can't see anything in there. You know, there's no like eyes, no nothing. It's just darkness under there. And for me, that portrays an African-American person. Whether it's a female or not, it portrays an African-American person. And for me, that was kind of saying, you know, like with the caption of, you know, safety in question, it's saying that we have to be afraid of African-American people because they're gonna do something to us, or they're gonna harm us, or they're gonna cause, you know, that their purpose here at WSU, especially with you talking about the W on here, is to harm us. And that's not, you know, if you ever have a conversation with somebody who's African American, like, I don't have a purpose to hurt anybody. You know, I don't go around saying, you know, that professor, I don't like that professor, I'm gonna do everything in my power. Like, that's just not me. Like, if you ever have a conversation with me, I'm one of the nicest people you'll probably ever meet. That's just my personality. And for me, it was very disheartening to see that come from a school where we pride on, you know, I know you were talking about this, we pride on an inclusive atmosphere and being inclusive of everyone, but this picture shows that we have to be afraid of a certain group of people here on campus.
For me, when I first got a hold of the newspaper and saw the problematic cover, I knew I had to take action. As a representative of some students on campus, I felt it was my responsibility to really take action. So one of the first things I did once I was kind of notified about the problematic cover of the paper, I went to the Winona office. And when I got to the office, I was kind of met with almost, this means no disrespect to the office of the Winona, but I was kind of met with a hostile environment with the people who were there. They said that they didn't understand the issue. They thought people were just overreacting and stuff like that. And I think that when we have a problem like this, we really need to look at it from both sides, you know, not just one side. So then I thought, well, where can I go to get the most attention of this cover? Because it really needs to be brought up. And luckily that night, there was a student senate meeting. And at these meetings, you had some of the most influential people at this university. You have the president, who's usually there, you have the dean of students, and you have the most influential students. So there, I just brought it up and said, this is really problematic and something needs to be addressed. And I just would like to make another point. Last year, we made a lot of progress toward diversity with the help of administration, with staff, and with students. And 3 weeks into the semester, or whatever it was, we took a step backwards with this cover. And I have no intentions to going backwards. We just got to keep going forward as a university. I'm kind of glad that as a community, we're coming together and we're discussing this. And with the help of the Minoan, who published article or editorials about the topic and, went to and published articles that were from both sides, we can have this discussion as a university, and it's long overdue, and I'm glad we're having it.
When the paper was brought to my attention, my first thoughts was, this is, not pretty typical, but, I'm used to seeing images like that, and portraying black males in a negative light, so I'm used to it. So, I was offended, but, I just let it bounce off my shoulders. So,
And if I can just sort of maybe make a few connections, it's interesting that you're saying you were so used to it that you were offended, but it was one of many things you're used to, as opposed to maybe some of the white students who didn't see the racial image, maybe the staff of the Winona, who said, well, geez, I didn't even see the connection. For you, it was obvious and so blatant.
Yeah.
I was just going to add, we were talking about, as Alec mentioned, myself and another student and a faculty member were called the N-word blatantly and out while we were walking away from a soccer game. And as we were talking about it, we were all kind of saying, it just happens so much that you just kind of say, it's not like it's whatever, but you just have to kind of start to just let it roll off because it happens so much that if you get caught up in, oh my gosh, they called me this is so wrong. If you get caught up on every time that happens to you, you will never be able to move forward. So sometimes you just have to let it roll off your back. But it's sad to know that it happens to us so much that we become, in a sense, numb to it. And we just kind of have to keep moving forward and let it roll off our backs. It's very sad that we're numb to it. It's very sad.
And then just to add on to what a couple of you guys said, last night I was showing my roommates a video of this guy talking about society today and how we're conditioned to perceive people a certain way in the media and how we talked about how we see the media and whatever. I really wanted to share that because since a very young age, we're conditioned to see different races and cultures in a certain light. You see black people as criminals and you need to be scared of them and everything like that. You see Asians as like they're smart, they're the top of their class and they're gonna go somewhere. You see white people as they're privileged and everything like that. And even, Americans, white people, they get stereotypes as well, even though, we don't talk about it as much, they do too. And it's just interesting because how you guys said that it just happens so often, you like let it go. When I went to a private school from kindergarten through eighth grade and I've had so many things said to me, and it's just like Leah said, you just kind of, you let it go, what I mean? And it's not, that's not the right thing to do and it's not good, but it's just like it happens so often that you kind of, you lose hope, because if you do go and tell someone, they give you the runaround. How you said people kind of told you like, oh, you're overreacting and things like that. Like, yeah, if students come forward, sometimes people are like, oh, I don't understand what you're talking about. I don't get where you're coming from. And it's because they haven't experienced something like that to feel like it's a big deal or anything like that. So.
And also if you come forward, what's going to be done about it? What's going to be changed? So it's like, what's the point of me coming forward and expressing to you my hardships and what I've been through and how I was extremely offended by somebody doing this to me or somebody saying this to me when there's nothing going to be done about it. It's just going to be the same old thing. Like, okay, well, we'll address it, and nothing happens.
Yeah, kind of going off of that, I had to write the article in the Winona that was in the response to that first image, and I found it very difficult coming because of my position as a white male. it was very difficult for me to write the article, and I never thought that it would be because, you know, I grew up in a town that's, you know, pretty racially diverse. Our high school, same way. Three of my best friends were of different culture or ethnic backgrounds. And so I thought that, you know, I'd be, you know, somewhat well-versed in issues like this. And then this thing with the image comes up and I have to write an article about it. And I realize that I'm not in any way like at what I thought I would be. And that's why I think it's important that we're bringing these issues, making these issues aware, because, you know, if they're having to just shrug them off because they experience them so much, there's no way that they can start, people can start worrying about not having to just shrug them off, because we're making these issues aware to people, and if people are aware of them, they're going to start catching themselves in the moment and saying these kind of, you know, statements to people, you know, with no intention of being racist or biased or whatever. You know, they'll catch themselves and they'll be like, oh, okay, next time, you know, I'll try and not say something like that. So when I wrote this article, I just wrote it from like a journalist perspective, stating the facts of what happened and then how it's going to be addressed. And I think that this event coming out of it is, it's very important for us to move forward as a university from this issue, because if it's not brought to attention, nobody knows about it, and there's nothing that can be done otherwise.
And, like, you know, there's, like, students, there's staff members, there's people that care about, you know, when it comes to racism and issues and trying to attack this cover from the beginning. And the things that Dr. Lee wrote to the editor about the cover, and then we got a response back. And then shortly after that, there was a response back, and then it says that, you know, there's no, like, apology necessary. And it just reinforces everything and all the hardship that people trying to do, trying to, like, fight against racism. And that's just something how media is, like, it's reinforcing other, like, people or the, like, majority who wants to hear this or who doesn't want to do, like, want anything to do with this issue. And I think it's very important that if there wasn't a response back to, like, no apology necessary, then I think that this would have been more effective to the whole if it was just to let alone and then the apology is there.
Any questions from the audience?
Hi. So my question is for you, who works at the Woman, is it diverse in there? First question. Is that a diverse office, or is it predominantly
It's predominantly white, but there are people of other races and backgrounds as well. But I'd say that the Winonan very well fits a majority of news outlets today that, you know, it's majority Caucasians writing these stories, reporting these stories, the faces you see on TV, you know, on television, news stations. I'd say the Winonan is very well fits that. And that's why when I was writing the article, I felt like I was in a very difficult position because, you know, I'm writing about an issue that's that's been caused because of Caucasian, like our descendants, you know, they kind of built this skyscraper for us creating race and, you know, grouping people in these different areas. And, you know, it's also kind of up to us to help eliminate that so that we can all just kind of be humans. You know, we're all just humans at the end of the day. We're not defined by our colors or our backgrounds. We're just all humans. And, yeah, that's...
Okay, so do you think that being with this article, for an example, the office didn't see the problem with it because you guys are all blinded by privilege, or...
I'd say that's part of it. I wasn't a part of anything that had to do with putting the issue up, but I would definitely say that because of, like, our privilege, our, you know, our being in a position of a Caucasian, it definitely brand bias, whereas if it was somebody who was of a different race or a cultural background looking over these photos before they are published, it probably would have been brought to the attention of the editors.
I would like to direct my question to the same speaker on the panel. I'm sorry, we're not, I don't mean to put you on blast and ask you a bunch of questions, but I'm wondering more about your personal opinion. Hearing the speakers on the panel, most of them mentioned that they don't read the Winonan, and you mentioned that most of your staff also is of the same sort of demographic, and not necessarily just race, but also it's very heteronormative from what I have observed, and also maybe in socioeconomic status, though I can't exactly comment on that, though. I'm wondering, if those voices aren't being heard, then are you appealing to all students and informing all students on issues? And I just want to hear your personal opinion on it, and I know that you might be the representative of the Winonan on this panel, but I want to hear what you have to say if you are willing to share that.
You know, I find that funny that people kind of bring up the fact that not many students read the Winonan. My roommate said the same exact thing. A few of the people I interviewed for the article I wrote said the same thing. You know, I don't read the article. When I brought the issue of the first of this image up to them, they're like, "Oh, there was controversy because of it. Like, what's the photo?" So it's hard to, especially with the newspaper on a somewhat smaller campus like ours, to get the students involved and to want to be reading these because. You know, even just in everyday life, we have a difficult time reading newspapers and picking up, like the Star Tribune or something. You know, it's not typical. We go online to get all of our information that we need. But even with the Winonan, we still don't go online to go check out the articles online on our school website. So it's hard to kind of get that message out there through the newspaper. And that's why I think this event coming from that controversy issues that stemmed from this image, I think that's a better way to make these issues aware to people, not just the Winonan, because it's hard. You know, people don't pick up newspapers to read them anymore, not off, at least our age group people don't.
I think I might be the first avid reader of the Winonan in the room. And on that note, your food reviews and movie reviews leave much to be desired. But anyway, so I'm going to put myself out there. I don't see it in this image. When I see this image, the first thing that comes to my mind, honestly, is a hacktivist of the group Anonymous. That is the first thing I see. Maybe the second thing I see is a black bloc pro-protester from, like, the UK, something like that. Like, race doesn't come into it for me in this image. I see a concerted effort to take any kind of race or personage out of this image. The face is completely blackened. There's no detail, you see no hair, skin, features of any kind. I mean, if an image like this was to be made 10, 20, 30 years ago, maybe you would have used someone in a trench coat and their hat covering their face. Nowadays, college students, they wear hoodies. I mean, they're perfect. You got a hat, you got gloves, you got your nice sweatshirt you keep warm. I mean, people of every race, color, creed, everything wear hoodies. And so, I mean, knowledge of the Trayvon Martin case aside, like, the fact that you're wearing a hoodie is just a fact that college-age people wear hoodies. So, as someone who doesn't see it, what am I missing? I mean, to me, it's the people that are, like, the people that see race in this, I think that needs to be changed. Because if you look at an image of a figure that's meant to be creepy, meant to be someone who's committing acts of sexual violence against women, and then you see a black man in that, when there is no race in that, that's kind of what gets to me.
Can I please go? For me, I don't know your sexual background. I don't know your income background. I don't know anything about you. But to you, remember, to me, you are perceived as a white male. So for you, you don't see these things every day. When you go into a store, you're not followed around the whole time you're in that store. When you're in class and you're the only person of color, I'm sorry, when you're in class, you're surrounded by people who look like you. When I go to class, I may be the only person of color in that class. I've had professors turn to me and ask me to be the representation for all black people. There are three African Americans on this panel right now. I am nothing like her. So you, as a white male, you have a lot of privilege given to you, where things like race, things like your sexual identity, things like how much money you have, those don't become a problem for you on a daily basis because of how society perceives you. Yeah, that's my biggest thing is, because of how society perceives you, those things don't come into play. And so that's why when you see this image, you may not see a representation of an African-American person. You may not see that because you don't experience that on a daily basis. But it's important to understand that people see this. And it's a very real thing. It's not like we're trying to put race into it. We're not trying to use the race card. We're not trying to make an excuse out of it. This is our daily lives. This is me. This is how society perceives me, so this becomes me. You see what I'm trying to say?
And going off, you kind of said exactly the viewpoint of the people, the editors who put the image out. They said the exact same thing. You know, we tried to keep the facelessness. There's no facial structure. There's no color depicted. There's none of that. It's just a person in a hoodie. Like, that's what the people from the Winona, that's the perspective that they saw. And then the fact of our white privilege, you know, That's the whole reason I had a difficult time writing this article, because I'm writing about something that was like an issue that stems from art, like my ancestors. Like, they're the ones who kind of put these categories over people of different races and colors and backgrounds and all that. And so it's kind of also becomes our responsibility now that these issues are becoming more prevalent and made more aware to people to help move away from that and just, you know, bring us all together as one people. You know, we're all just human people. We're all just one race of humans. We're not separate races of defined by our colors. We're all just a human race. And, you know, I think it's our duty to make that known to people that, you know, we're all just one people at the end of the day.
Can I add in something as well?
Yes.
When you look at media, when you look at TV shows, when you look at movies, when you look at, you know, whatever other media you look at, when you see a white male wearing a hoodie, he usually doesn't have his hood on, at least from what I've seen. I may be wrong, but from what I've seen, when you see a white male wear a hoodie, he doesn't have his hood on. When you see a black male wear a hoodie, he has the hood on. When you see a Latino male wear a hoodie, he has his hoodie on and maybe his bandana. Those are stereotypes that we've been taught over and over and over and over.
Go ahead. Going back to what he said, you know, you said all college-age kids, you know, wear hoodies. And why didn't they just put a guy that looks like you on the cover? Why didn't they put a blonde-haired, blue-eyed white girl on the cover? So, you know, going back to the OJ picture, you know, the darker the image, the more frightening, you know, the person becomes. So that's why they don't have any teeth on the picture. That's what I think. That's why they don't have any eyeballs. No, because the darker the images make it real dark, you know, and put a hoodie on them. That's like the scariest thing that they can think of. So that's what that implies. You know, the whole Trayvon Martin thing, like you said, you can't take that out of it. Because that's all they talked about. Black kid with a hoodie. So, you know, that should be the first thing that a person would think of, you know, is that. You know, how could you miss that? It's like almost impossible. So that's all I have to say.
And also, I want to comment on something that you said about what, how you keep saying, you know, as white people, you know, we, you know, you said that we made this and all that, but it sounds like guilt. And honestly, the reason that a lot of white students don't show up at these diversity things that we have is because they feel guilty. Yeah. You should not feel guilty. Because honestly, this is for you too. And you're a victim as well. even if you're privileged or you know, you are still a victim in society as well. So don't feel bad. The only way that anyone in here should feel bad is if they're helping the oppressors. If you are oppressing someone else, that's the only reason that you should feel bad. So if you're upholding the stereotypes and everything, then you should feel bad, but you didn't. The people in the past did that. So it's all of our job to help change it.
Yeah.
Thanks again to Brian K. Smith, Winona State University President Dr. Scott Olson, and the members of the student panel for sharing with us on Culture Click. Another thank you goes out to the Winona State University Inclusion and Diversity Office, Southeast Technical College, the KEEP, that's K-E-A-P Diversity Resource Center, and the Winonan for sponsoring our presentation of What's Race Got to Do With It. I'm Terry Tunset, and you've been listening to Culture Click.
Creating cultural awareness and understanding. You've been listening to Culture Click. Support for Culture Click is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Culture Click is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information, look us up on the web at kqal.org. And thanks for listening to Culture Click.